the second chapter.
Mic off. Take this for right now down there. I'll see what's going on. It was making weird noise and not working. Sorry. You want mine? Okay.
They are who he is from. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Worked all together to become what?
Cross.
A cross. And that this cross has a memory of every child that was part of that church. And you know when I left, they said, we don't want you to forget us. So we put all this together, and because we are all together in Christ, we gave you a cross to put all of these on. Now they actually put them on, I didn't. They said, we're all part of one body. Each of us, so each child there, is part of one body, which is the church. And we know the church because of Christ. In our lessons today, and Christ dying on the cross, and in our lesson, we just heard about that, being one body. And I want you to know that each of you are part of these. If we were doing this today, you could put your square on. Because you are part of the body of Christ, as we all are. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for making us part of your body, the church. Help us to celebrate every day your gift to us. Amen. Our Lord. Amen. So what? I dreaded hearing those two words during my seminary career. After presenting a paper or a project, peers and professors alike would ask, "So what?" During feedback time after preaching or leading devotions, someone was bound to ask, "So what?" After outlining my final project for my advisor and believing I'd done an outstanding job, he asked, "So what?" You'd think after 4 years I would be used to that. But the saving grace in this question was that I wasn't the only one being asked. We all were, student and professor alike. So what? It sounds calloused, hard, angry even, if you just leave it where I did. So what? In reality, it was a life-changing question, a question I still ask myself every single day. The question pushed me to go deeper because the question never stopped with those two words. It only started there. So what? So what does that story say about the text that we are studying? So what do you hope your classmates will take with them as they leave today? So what? What will change because you have discovered this truth or passage or had this idea? So what? Now, what's next? Who will be hearing you and what might they take with them? So what? What are you saying that proclaims Jesus crucified, died, and risen? Words carry power. Use them carefully. So what's next after you speak? I can imagine St. Paul thinking these words, maybe even uttering them in frustration and despair. So what now? Paul is busy planting the church at Ephesus when he receives word from Corinth that the church there has become a church divided. Divided according to what leader was being followed, and divided by the mores of society. Corinth was a busy seaport community, filled with corruption and pagan religious practices. Many newly converted Christians came from heathen, idol-worshipping, animal-sacrificing backgrounds. They were continually exposed to those more familiar lifestyles and teaching, and that then led them away from Christianity and right back to their former familiar pagan ways. Paul was compelled to guide them back to the truth of the cross and the resurrection. He strove to reunite them by clearly stating how each one was a vital and necessary part of the body called the church. The title of this week's devotion in our God on the Move book is Uniquely Gifted for the Common Good. The verse selected from today's lesson for this sermon and for our memory verses, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's take that verse apart. To each is given. Each of us receive the gift of the Spirit, and each of us are then enabled by God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to use our gifts in unique ways. Oh, I can hear you now. I don't have any unique gifts. Or if I do, I don't know what they are. I certainly don't have gifts good enough to be used for the good of all. But you're wrong. You do have gifts because God gifts you. These are grace gifts, Spirit gifts, Holy Spirit gifts. To quote from our devotion book, God's Spirit resides in each of us. The Spirit has uniquely gifted each person. The Spirit has gifted you gifts. These gifts are different from other people's. Sometimes that we may wish we had different gifts. Sometimes we may think that we have gift that is not at all unusual. It's the same as everyone else's. But the Spirit is at work in you, uniquely gifting you and calling you. In this week's Bible study, we were left with a challenge. So I'm going to offer this challenge to you. Reflect this next week on your gifts. Work on developing a list of 25 gifts and strengths that you have. Think about how you have used these gifts to help others. And identify two or three of your least used gifts and put them to work. Think of 25 gifts. I've been working on my list since Thursday and I am having trouble getting to 10. But let's do it. Let's work on our lists. Let's write them down. Share them with someone if you feel called to do so. And don't leave anything out, no matter how small you may consider the gift. After all, it's a grace gift from the Holy Spirit. Ask your brother or sister to help you if you're stuck, so they can be the manifestation of the Spirit for you. The manifestation of the Spirit. When I first read this part of our verse, all I could think of was the last line of each verse in our hymn 310 titled Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. The line is God in flesh made manifest. I thought I knew what that meant. God, through Jesus, is made known to each of us. And that is what the first three verses say. Verse 1 references Christmas and Epiphany as Jesus, the baby, was made known, made manifest. Verse 2 reminds us of last week's gospel concerning Jesus' baptism and today's gospel, which reveals the first sign of Jesus to the world, that he is the one turning water into wine. God in flesh, in Jesus, made manifest, made clearly known. Verse 3 tells of Jesus overcoming the devil and bringing grace to all. Again, God in flesh, Jesus made manifest. But verse 4 turns the tables on us. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Grant grace to imitate thee now, and be pure, as pure art thou, that we may become like thee at thy great epiphany, and may praise thee, ever blessed, God in flesh made manifest. God in flesh, in me, in us, made manifest, made clearly known. God made known through us. We are the manifestations of the Spirit to the world. That's just downright scary. The Spirit made clear to the world through me. I'd better shape up and fly right, or I'm in big trouble. Thanks be to God. As Paul tells us in verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I sure can't say it of my own accord. I need the power and push of the Holy Spirit. We all do, for the common good. We are gathered into one body, known as the church, through the empty cross. We are many individuals drawn together for the common good, to proclaim the word, capital W, throughout the world. And we are given the grace gifts by the Holy Spirit to work for that common good. Gifts given according to our differing abilities. The gifts sound overwhelming as Paul lists them. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, work of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirit, speaker in tongues, interpreter of tongues. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, the Spirit gives the grace gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, preaching, giving, leadership, and compassion. Romans 12:3b says that we are given grace gifts, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Well, I don't know about you, but I still haven't completed my list of 25 Spirit-given gifts. I'm still not certain that I can come up with that many. Perhaps I can ask my neighbor to help me. I do know that whatever grace gifts I need in order to make God manifest in the world will be given to me through the ever-present gift of the Holy Spirit. Scripture promises us. God gives the same to each of us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then gifts us with the unique abilities to proclaim grace for the common good. So what truth will you take from today? So what is your unique gift? So what do you do next with your unique gifts? So what gift do you bring to this body of Christ? And what gift do you carry out to the world today? Consider your gifts. Then come to the table and be fed. Receive the strength to use these gifts, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. To each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good.